You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 9, Episode 24 coming your way this week. Kieran Burke and Gary Riley with you as ever. We're brought to you by our sponsor, Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. And Anthony Quinn, a very proud Athlone man. We wish him and Athlone the very best of luck tomorrow night in the Women's Champions League. They take on Cardiff City at Lizzie Wool in the Athlone Town Stadium. And they've sold over 1,000 tickets as well, guys. So it's going to be the highest ever attended women's match in Athlone, which is great to see. So hopefully they can get a good result there and get through to the next round. They'd potentially be playing a Croatian team on Saturday then in that mini tournament taking place. So best of luck to them. But we've got a very busy show coming your way this week. Once again, it's a mix of domestic and European matters. We're going to review the European matches from last week and look ahead to the second legs this week. Good results for Shamrock Rovers and for St. Pat's last week. Hopefully they can see it over the line now later in the week. As for Shelburne, probably the result most of us expected, I'm afraid, but we'll talk about it anyway. We're going to review what was a hugely dramatic Friday night and Saturday night in the League of Ireland Premier and First Divisions. We're obviously going to start the show with, I suppose, what's been the big talking point over the last few days, and that was the shocking scenes in Derry. But if we're just focusing on the pitch matters, then very much Cork City Sligo Rovers is going to be a big talking point. That was an absolutely tremendous advert for the league last Friday on Virgin Media. We're going to be joined by Enda Curran as well, our good old pal. He's probably the record attendance holder on this podcast. He's made so many appearances. I thought he was retired, Gaz, but he's still on the go with Saul Hill Devon in the junior ranks, and they've been handed a dream FAI Cup draw against Galway. So we're going to speak to Enda about that and about a few other very interesting topics as well. And we've got the hotline and the predictions league as ever. But look, Gary, we will start with the big talking point. We won't spend too long on it, to be honest, because it's very complex and we could be here all night. But they were absolutely shocking scenes around the Brandywell last Friday night.
Yeah, no question about it. It was just really disappointing. And, you know, as you mentioned, like, the game of the night was Cork and Sligo. A huge battle at the bottom of the table, which kind of has defined the rest of their seasons almost, like,
yeah,
you know, in a way. Well, certainly I think that it's terminal now for Cork City, unfortunately. To have all the jibber jabber around those games on Friday night being taken away to this bullshit that went on outside the Brandywell on Friday was very disappointing. But I don't really know what to say about it. Like, it's, you know, there was a lot of people looking for FAI statements and club statements and this and that and the other. But I think since the shite with Shamrock Rovers last year, or shite at that game last year, I think the only people that can solve it is, you know, the leadership of the city and the PSLI. Like, I don't really know what else can be done here. Like, you know, the PSNI keep law and order in Derry. It's their job to do it. Like, I think, you know, there was talk there before or somewhere anyway about, like, community leaders or activists or whatever, you know, trying to, you know, calm it all down or whatever. But this is just mindless shite. Like, this is, you know, shite that goes on as a sideshow to the game, rather than, you know, fans going up and trying to.
Yeah, like, I don't think we even need to say it, to be honest, but we'll say it to cover our bases anyway. We know that these are not genuine Derry City supporters that are at this behaviour. Now, I'm not really interested in getting into the who did what and when. I know there's been a lot of talk about kind of events, I suppose, in the bog side that preceded all of this, and how that maybe led to the scenes that we saw. You know, people, there's enough videos and articles and statements out there for people to read, yep, and do their own research. my bigger issue with this is, and I was listening to Barry Murphy on League of Ireland Late Night last Friday night, and he stated his belief that he doesn't feel at the moment the Brandywell is safe for either home or away supporters. And like the amount of innocent football, good football and fans that went up there Friday and got caught up in this is absolutely shocking. And this isn't, unfortunately, this isn't the first time we've seen an incident. Now, this was an incident on steroids compared to anything that happened before. But we've seen kind of incidents and issues around the Brandywell in the past. And unless, as you said, the community leaders up there, and I genuinely feel sorry for Derry City Football Club, because as you said, there's been talk of our community activists going out and trying to patrol outside, but like Derry City can't say, Johnny and Mary, here's a couple of bibs and out you go and stand on the street. And next thing, 50 lads with bricks and clubs and everything coming at them. There's nothing they can do about it. But between the club, the council, the PSNI, the politicians up there, they're going to have to get this solved, because it's going to get to the stage where if we see an incident like this again, and this was a very serious incident, a series of incidents on Friday, you would have to question whether the Brandywell is a safe place for football matches to be held right now, or certainly for football supporters, but home and away to attend matches with scenes like this going on outside the ground.
Yeah, no, it's there's no question about it. And like, I don't know if it's going to get to a place where the FAI have to go, right, boys, we can't stand over this anymore.
Yeah.
We don't believe, like, let's say there's a lot of stakeholders in all the clubs around the country, and you know, you have to work with the guards or the PSNI or whoever's around the place to make sure everybody has a safe time. And it's bizarre that we're even talking about it like this, whether it's safe or not, but it could get to a stage, and maybe the FAI would be doing Derry City FC a favour by going, right, there'll be no one at any, you know, for the next three home games, there'll be no fans. And if that's instigated by the FAI, which would be a last resort, unfortunately, but maybe it'll go, right, there was 3,000 people at that game there on Friday against Bowes. They'd be like, right, I can't go to this, my local team, for three home games because the PSNI aren't doing what I believe they should be doing, is making sure that it's a safe event for all. And if they're not able to do that, well, then there's 3,000 local people in the city that are going to be getting on to their local politicians and councillors and whatever else is going on in Derry. So they go, right, you have to make this happen. I can't be going on without my games. You know what I mean? Maybe that's something that the FAI could look into. I know maybe there's this idea that there are no away fans. I wouldn't be a fan. I'd be less of a fan of that, to be quite honest. I think it's just something that, like was it, the local leaders have to resolve, be it the leaders of the PSNI up there, the council, whatever, you know, body is there in Derry, need to fix this and need to not let that go on. Because as a lot of people say, oh, it's a terrible advert for the league, and it is. But it's just terrible, full stop. Like, this is just bullshit.
The amount of people we had tweeting us last Friday saying they were at the game with family, and they would, and this was Derry fans as well as away fans, saying that they would seriously consider, you know, not going back to the Brandywell again. You know, that's not good. That's not what we want to hear.
No, it's not. But, like, you know, obviously people have to make their own decisions. Like, let's say, you know, I don't want to do parachute jumping or whatever. I don't think it's safe, so I'm not going to do that. You know, people are and should and do make decisions like that all the time. But for you're not able to go to your local football club on a Friday night under lights, which is something that, you know, a lot of people look forward to all week, is really not good. Yeah. And for these scumbags to take over that and to put in jeopardy the safety of, you know, thousands of people that are just going to the game, have been going to games for years, you know, people bringing their children to the games for the first time, you know, have that in jeopardy by local bollockses is a real sad thing.
And non-local politics, like, too. Again, I'm not interested who did what and when, but they're...
No, yeah, but like non-local, like bollocks.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not saying anybody...
You're right. We can't let these people hijack. For some people, going to a game of a Friday night is all they have.
But it's not even all they have. Like, I'd say, like, apart from, you know, yes, definitely, there's a lot of, it's, you know, it's all they have. But, like, there's a lot of people that work very hard and have a lot of bullshit and, you know, just want that few hours of, like, right, I can go for 3 pints before the game and go for 5 pints after the game, a bitch and moan.
And by just on that as well, by the way, the going for pints, the amount of Bo's fans I've seen saying that stayed over or went for a pint before the game or after the game with Derry fans, and the crack they had and everything was in great spirit. There was, you know, none of that. Again, we don't really need to say it, but like the Derry City supporters are fantastic and the volunteers up there are fantastic. It's one of the most welcoming grounds you go to. It's just the element that is outside the ground that is causing these issues. And I genuinely feel very, very sorry for Derry City Football Club and the genuine supporters, because if this does keep continuing, then conversations like this are going to unfortunately have to be had.
Yeah, it's going to get to that. And look, I think, unfortunately, you know, my deep anti-Derry bias, as some people say I have, is coming through here. But like, I think, you know, you're going to have to do something, be like PSNI or, as I said, the councillors or whatever needs to go, right, this can't go on. This is a dire look for the whole thing and we need to do something about it. But not only that, just like I say, if I was a councillor and I was like working for me community up in Derry and I was bursting myself and trying to get the best for Derry, and then see these bunch of local arseholes and other non-local arseholes, as you said, coming up and ruining something that's really positive for Derry.
Yeah.
And marring the city's name like that is so bad. And so I just hope that they can just sort it out and make sure that there's, like, was it maybe, you know, a stronger priest presence for the next few games or something like that, so that people can go, right, there's going to be a... something that people mightn't be very mad about, and I totally understand that, but like, you know, a lump of police around the place go, right, I'm safe enough, I feel safe, and I can bring my children to this game in comfort. And
look, obviously there's political complexities there. Even if you have a strong PSNI presence, is that going to bring issues to the area, which would then endanger the safety of people?
But they're the piece
entering and exiting the ground. It's very messy, and it's probably something we're not going to be able to resolve on this podcast. In truth, it's way above our pay grade.
Yeah, well, most things are above our pay grade, but just like, you know, there's no one else. You know, they're the police service of Northern Ireland. You know, and I know that's not very palatable, and I completely understand that, but like, there's no one else. Do you know what I mean?
Well, look, PSNI or not PSNI, someone or some group needs to resolve this, or groups coming together probably more so is what needs to happen here to resolve this. Because if this happens again, I know the Shamrock Rovers incident last year where we saw extremely embarrassing for the league, supporters having to be, you know, ushered into the centre circle for their own safety live on television while RT was doing their wrap-up. I know that there was a threat of a suspension stadium or partial stadium ban if similar incidents happened in the next game, and thankfully it didn't happen. And to be fair to Derry, they moved sections of the support around so that, you know, away supporters were more protected. But if something like this happens again, then, you know, the kind of the FAI's hand really will be forced, I'd imagine. So look, not good. Hopefully it can be resolved, and resolved quickly, because nobody wants to see what happened on Friday night. But look, let's talk football, Gary. And Derry City and Bohemians drawn on Friday night. Shamrock Rovers were the big winners without kicking a football.
True that. I'd say Derry will be happy enough. Well, will they be? They had a good, on a decent run, but I think it was an okay result for the two of them. Obviously, I think Bo's will actually obviously be happier keeps Derry behind them. But like, what, 7 points now between Bowes and Rovers at the top of the table?
Games in hand used up, squandered. Yeah. Well, by both Derry and Bowes.
Yeah, but like I could say the idea is that the games in hand, you win them, you're on top of them. You know, they're not gimme points.
Mm.
You know, you still have to go and play the game and win the bloody thing. But in the last five, Bowes have drawn three. And you look at some of the results that they could have got something out of. We'll say that time when, it was actually a long time ago. So I'm getting confused with the times because Rovers haven't played the league. Like that, you were kind of thinking that when Bowes bet them 2-0, that would have been, okay, here we go. We'll do a little bit of a march here. But then they drew against Sligo and had that draw against Pats, who aren't going great at the minute. So, opportunity lost. But I think there's a very good point for Bowes at the same time.
Yeah, I think there's obviously more of a expectation that Derry should be the ones challenging, and Bowes are not where anyone expected them to be. They're much further along. So I think it's Derry really that squandered the games in hand, obviously losing away to Sligo. Now Sligo have been in cracking form, but it's not the first time we've seen Derry slip up in that fixture in recent years. So yeah, just a disappointing night for both teams, but on and off the pitch. The live game though, that was a great story on Friday night. Unfortunately, headlines elsewhere kind of took away from it a little bit. But Cork City 2, Sligo Rovers 3, Cork City 2-0 up, Sligo Rovers come back and win it 3-2. Absolutely sick with myself. Told everyone at work, I said, this game, lads, priced completely wrong. Bookies have it arseways. They had Cork City as the favourites, Sligo about 2-1. And I got greedy with myself. I was going to back Sligo 2-1. And next thing I said, ah, do you know what? I think they'll beat them by two goals. I went -1, 11-2. And probably could have been more than 3-2. And Cork City hit the crossbar to maybe win it. But Sligo missed chances too. Elding tried to go around the goalkeeper and missed a chance. Yeah. A couple of other decent chances as well. But Sligo Rovers, a completely different team in the second half to what they were in the first.
It was crazy, wasn't it?
Terrible in the first half. They were like the Sligo of earlier in the season, but second half, they came out all guns blazing. I don't know how many corners they had in the second half. Must have had at least 10, but a great comeback. And as we said last week, they had to go there and put the final nail in Cork City's coffin, and it looks like they've done that.
Certainly is. I think Cork are finished now. And what, 11 points behind?
Yeah,
11 games remaining. The players that they've lost in the last, you know, over the window, really.
Yeah. This window was all strengthening and strengthening, and the squad's way weaker than it was.
It is, yeah. It's bizarre as to how they manage it, but I know there's a lot of shy talk about Mbeng going to Rover or to Shelburne.
Shells. No sign of Dykstra in the matchday squad last week either. Now, Jaron Nash has claimed that he refused to make himself available. I think some Cork fans have got a different version of it, so I'm sure it'll come out in the wash which version is true. But then devastating news today for young O'Sullivan. He's done his ACL. That's gut-wrenching for him, a player that looked probably set for a big move in the summer, but hopefully he can recover quickly and get back to the form he was showing. But for Cork City to be at this stage of the season with an even weaker squad than they had at the start of the year, I mean, you can see why the Cork City fans are so frustrated and so angry right now.
Yeah, well, that's an understatement to say the least. They've been quite unhappy. Another understatement, but quite unhappy for quite a while.
Actually, just as you're speaking to me, a DM has just flashed up on my phone here on the Between the Stripes Twitter account as a Cork City fan. And literally, this has just come in as you were talking there. Hello, lads. Love the pod. I'm not going to give his name, this chap. Even though I'm a Cork City fan and was shite, Usher simply does not get it and runs the club in spite of the fans rather than working in tandem with them. Also, somehow the women's team is ran even worse by Usher. No league win in 13 for the men and women's side. He's put money in but clearly hasn't spent it correctly, as well as making promises in the fan meeting before the Pats game and being unable to deliver. Anyway, see you next season, lads. Love the pod.
Yeah, we'll see him next season. Maybe I'll get down to Turner's Cross next year. like it's been a definitely a journey, for Cork fans. I think, you know, just aside from this game, I think what makes it a lot worse is the fact that they've seen this episode before.
Yeah.
And not only before, but really recently. And even though the club and the fans and everybody else were absolutely desperate to sell to Usher or to anybody.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the receipts of conversations that were had are being thrown around now. And it's just made it to be a nearly impossible situation for Usher to get out of unless they manage to escape relegation this year, which they won't do. And who's going to come in to buy and, you know, replace Dermot Usher?
If he was to go, of course.
If he was to go. Oh, certainly. No, I'm not saying anything, but like, let's say, I've often complained about, you know, when I was Kenny out and I was like, who replaces him? It's like, that's not my problem. I know this fella isn't working, you know what I mean? So we need to do something about this. I think just the whole thing together is just, you know, every time they turn, it goes to shit.
Yeah.
You know, players leaving, there's rumors about this. This lad said this, that lad said that. That's a lie. This shouldn't have happened. All of this stuff is just really adding up to be one big pot of garbage. Mm. And when you look at the result there on Friday, you know, you could make an argument that, yes, the players were bursting themselves for Nash. You know, they were okay. You know, they got the 2-goal lead. The second goal was quite fortunate. But they still got it. And you know what I mean? You thought, okay, Jesus, they could do something here. This could be the one that triggers the revival. You know, it's a heroic story that we tell for years to come and blah, blah, blah. But they shot themselves in the foot. I think it was actually mentioned as well. I think they talked to you about it on Saturday, where the first time an outswinging corner was taken.
Yeah.
By Sligo, it went in. So that really says, that's interesting and fair play to Sligo for like going, right, we have to do something different. This Cork keeper is catching everything. He's getting in the way of everything. We need to mix it up. The fact that Cork weren't able to react to a very basic change in approach from a corner shows that they're just not up to it at this level.
And just to flip it to Sligo off that, actually, it was with Paddy McLean that got the header. He's been absolutely excellent since he's gone in there. Another great signing for them today, Kieran Harkin. These are rock solid players that know the league. Again, we've seen Ryan O'Kane go in there. We've seen McManus go in there. They've all had an instant impact. This is the window Cork City needed, and they've been trying to get young lads in on loan from England. It just has not worked.
I think
you have to give John Russell the huge credit for the rabbits he's pulled out of the bag, out of the hat in this summer window.
Yes, that's very correct. But I think the question that I'd be asking is, were Cork not in for any of these lads?
Mm.
Like, okay, they got that Kelleher boy in. I'm not sure how good that's working out.
Rory Feely,
a lad coming back from England, a lad...
Does know the league, I suppose.
Does know the league, but like, I know the league, but you were not going to sign me, like. You know, this bullshit of like knowing the league and, oh, I know it's a club and he's a great fella, like the totally overblown bullshit. You know, you're not going to get Messi in because he doesn't know the league. Mm. You know, like.
But I think you said it before, they needed men in, and okay, Feely and Kelleher are men, I suppose, but Sligo Rovers have brought in a really solid group of players there.
Yeah, like there's a lot of players that would make an addition to, like, let's say, if you imagine I'm Sligo, right? We're at the bottom of the table fighting relegation. You're bringing in players that would be an addition to any, you know, squad in most teams in the division.
Yeah, like, I know it didn't work out for Ian O'Kane at Shelburne, but the champions saw enough in him to sign him. McManus played 13 games for Bowes this season and would be getting in most other teams in the division. Only
correct
a couple of players in front of him are Bowes, but he'll definitely, I think the feeling among Bowes fans is he'll come back from the loan spell stronger and he will get his chance. McLean's been playing first team football up the north. Like, these are proven players.
Ready made.
Exactly.
Come in. Yeah. And I think that's the problem, that Cork are not even shopping. They're definitely not shopping in that, you know, shop.
Mm.
they're in a shop down the road. They're in a different...
Like, who's identifying these players for Cork City? Is it an algorithm? Is it, like, stats-based? Because these players are young players.
Well, if it is that, then they deserve to get relegated and they deserve to be wound up, actually. But, like, I'd say, one of the things that we thought of at the start was, would it be possible, or would David Minor be some type of
help bring players in? Yeah,
to get right. Yeah, I played with this lad, you know, 5-10 years ago. He's managing a reserve team from the championship or something. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, the way, Dara Doyle managed to get Aaron O'Driscoll in for Longford Town the year they got relegated in the Premier.
Yeah.
Like, I never heard of Aaron O'Driscoll before that, but I thought he had a very good season for Longford Town, got his move to Chelsea, it didn't work out, and now he's playing pro in New Zealand or something like that. Grand. But, like, do you know what I mean? Like, would say Dara, just as an example, he's at Longford Town, he had a good network of player, of people that he could reach out to and go, I need X, I need Y.
Yeah.
Anything you can do for me. And it doesn't seem that we've got anything of the sort for Cork here. So I don't, you know, you mentioned it before, I think in previous seasons, where are we shopping, you know, for any team to get us out, to help us achieve our goals for this year, either get promoted, not get relegated, or win a league or whatever. And I don't think Cork are shopping in the right shop at all. They seem to be very far away from what they need. I think Rory Feely, even though I have reservations about Rory, I thought that was actually a decent enough signing. He was decent enough for Bowes and got his move away. And would bring a good bit of experience to that back line, but it hasn't happened yet.
Mm.
And they're probably going to run out of games. No matter what way it's like. Like, you can imagine, like I say, like, this could be done in a very, like, you know, it's 11 points with 11 games remaining. This could be done over the next 6 weeks, depending on results.
Speaking of depending on results, could Galway get dragged into some sort of relegation dogfight? I know you love that term. They were beaten 4-2 at home by Waterford, two teams that have struggled to match the highs of last season, but this is getting a little bit worrying now for Galway. They slide down to 8th in the table. They're only 3 points above Sligo Rovers, and they play them in a couple of weeks in the Connacht Derby.
Yeah, squeaky bum. I would say that they need to keep their wits about them. It seems like I think the last time they won was probably that Pats game where they scored from their own half. I would say yes. It's certainly a possibility. For God's sake, like it's only 3 points in the difference. So I would say yes. It's something that they need to fix. But also, they're playing like shite.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I would say a lot of the stuff that we would have talked about in recent times about a John Caulfield Galway team is that they were very hard to beat and a right pain in the arse and stuff like that. But, like, you know, beating Talca Rovers 2-0 in the FAI Cup, that's the last game they've won. They haven't won a game in July. They've chucked in some bad performances, like that Galway, or that game against Pats, that game against Bowes, excuse me, we lost 3-0. That's shite, like. And they're shipping a lot more goals as well.
Well, they've already shipped more than the entirety of last season.
I'd well believe it. But, you know, 4 at home against Waterford, not good. You know, it seems like a distant memory that we were singing the praises of Murphy reeling in the ears or whatever, but I'm not sure if that's... that'd be part of the problem, but really, really poor result again for Galway. And obviously, massive result for Waterford, shoots them up the table. Because it was a bit shit there for a little while, wasn't it, with Waterford? Yeah. So really great win for them, puts them up to sixth.
Yeah. Right, that was the Premier Division action over the weekend. In the First Division, it looked like Athlone Town were closing in on their first win under Ian Ryan. They were 2-0 up against Treaty, but Treaty United, not for the first time this season, they did it to Dundalk as well. They pulled it out of the fire and managed to get a point out of the game, but this is just going from bad to worse for Athlone this season.
Yeah. What did they call them? The basement side? I know that's what they are, but...
Quite a few outgoings over the last 24, 48 hours there as well, isn't there?
From Athlone?
Yeah.
Who was that other?
Kyle Robinson, gone to Longford. There's definitely a couple of other players I've read online that have moved on as well, or left anyway.
Oh, right, okay.
Babatunde seems to be talking about him online, that he's no longer registered as an Athlone player on FAI Connect. So,
all right, fair enough.
Matthew Connor, the keeper, gone to Kerry.
Oh, yeah, well, we'll come to that later, I suppose. it's been a dire season. Like, you're gonna ship out those types of players, or not those types, but any player. There was a period of time where some players left and then they came back. It's a real...
It's been a bizarre season.
Strange period of time, right. Yeah. Fair play to Treaty here for pulling it out of the fire. But a kind of real... This is what the season has been like for Athlone. Some real positive moments. But managed to shoot themselves in the foot on a number of occasions. Because even like I said, their opening goal is quite good. Really good finish at the back post. And then, to put a 2-0 up a couple of minutes later. You were just like, there was always that fear though, that even though they did that, they were well capable of making the bags of it and conceding goals, which they absolutely did. Another poor result from a really strong position for Athlone, but fair play to Treaty for plugging away. But I think even if you're 2-0 down against Athlone, you'd probably be still saying to yourself, we're not bet yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still in this game. Just because of the softness, the disarray that Athlone have. You wouldn't be able to hang your hat on any, number of goals that you're in the lead against them. And if you look back at the first goal back for Treaty, like the defending is just comical stuff. Like, it's just garbage. And Treaty were probably annoyed that they didn't win all 3 points in the end.
Dundalk won again, and they scored plenty of goals for the first time in a while, 3. But they conceded a couple of late goals that made it hairy as well against Wexford. So, look, it's 3 points on the board. Cove slipped up, so they've extended their lead over second, but they're just not convincing us, are they?
I don't know. Yes, they are.
This is a Wexford team having a very poor season, and they've gone up there and they've almost got something out of it.
Yeah, that's true. Look, they were 2-0 up at half-time, Dundalk, and they're, I don't want to say cruising, but there is that mistake in them. Like, we'll say the mistake for the Wexford goal, just keeper lets it go through his legs, and I don't know who was there to tap it in, but did so. But you see, I think the thing is, like, we'll say, you look at even that Ward's, the final goal for Dundalk.
No, it was a great strike.
Great strike. That bit of class, that experience, that bang. Electricity, let's say, but did enough for them. I wouldn't have a too much fear of Wexford coming to town at the moment. It's probably just a bit of carelessness from Dundalk, which they're not being punished for in the First Division. And I think that's probably the main point of the story, to be quite honest.
I think if you compare them though to, and it's probably an unfair thing to keep doing this, but Galway and Cork in recent seasons, they shut games down early. They got in front, they shut games down. This Dundalk team either leave opposition hanging around in games for too long because they don't put games to bed, mm-hmm. or they're switching off like this at the back and allowing teams back into games. They don't seem to have that clinicalness that the likes of Cork and Galway have had in this division in recent seasons.
Yeah, they're not putting the teams, you know, 20 foot in the ground, like, and yeah. That's probably been a something that they've experienced all season, to be quite honest. Probably their most complete performance was against Longford earlier on in the season in Bishopsgate. They were very good that day. But like, you know, they have allowed teams and given teams a sniff in a lot of games this season, which will be the main problem for them.
Yeah, moving on then, we had Finn Harps 2, Cove 2. A great result for Harps.
Excuse me, yeah. Probably a surprising one as well. Would have expected Cove to look at this game and be like, right, boys, we have to win this. They also had a heap of exits or departures, I think is the technical term to these days.
Was it 7 today?
I think it was something like that, yeah. And a couple of like players that, you know, would have been reasonably well known in a Cove Ramblers jersey.
Bosniak
as well, yeah. Dale Holland.
I know he was more of an impact sub, but he was still someone in the
squad. Yeah, like he was probably knocking around there for a good while.
Mm.
And maybe would have been expecting a bit more from his time there. But yeah, like it's still a surprising one. Bunch of departures.
But they have brought players in. I don't think it's been announced anywhere yet, but again, everyone's looking at FEI Connect these days, and Dylan McGlade seems to have been assigned to Cove Ramblers on the OLAP, so it looks like that's one that's common. So,
yeah. Did you see the penalty for Cove's opener?
I'm not going to lie, I didn't see it.
Mm. We'll have a look back, and I think it's very, 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 very soft. And if I was a Harps fan, I'd be very pissed off. Look, I think it was a very good result. Good performance. Rocket of a finish for the equaliser to bring it back to 1-1 for Harps. But look, they did well enough to dig it out. Like we'll say, they're scrappy, keep plugging away at it. And there was some nice finishing in the game as well. So. Lots to be happy about, but yeah, decent result.
Yeah, not a lot to be happy with in terms of Cove dropping ground on Dundalk again. We'll get to Bray in a minute because they look like they might be the one that actually is the serious challenger to Dundalk. But before that, Kerry 0, UCD 3, a real hammering here for Kerry, who quickly seem to be going backwards over the last number of months. And you touched on it earlier there, a couple of players departing in very bizarre circumstances today. Now, we won't go into some of the rumours that are out there about why these players have left Kerry. Well, one of them very swiftly. I think he'd been only at the club a week or two. The other lad, the keeper, had been there since February, but had only recently broke into the team. Now, we saw him against Longford, and he was very, very poor in that game in particular. But yeah, it's just starting to turn into a bit of a mess of a season for Kerry, really. A season that promised a lot, and it just hasn't delivered on that promise.
Very true. And their disciplinary record is a disgrace.
Two red cards in this game and a red card for a member of the coaching staff. That massive coaching staff they seem to have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, people, anywhere you look, there's Kerry staff. Like I'd say, the first red card was just insane. Brookwell, I don't know. It's
7 minutes in.
Yeah. Like, you know, keep it tight. These lads are decent. You know,
don't do anything silly.
Yeah, don't do anything stupid. No rash decisions, lads. Right? You know, nearly impales a lad with his foot. Like, and you know the worst thing is, like I'd say, I think that UCD player was almost the most advanced player for UCD. And there was like three or four lads covering for Kerry behind him. Like there was no need to make that challenge. A few weeks ago, Eric Riara got sent off down in Kerry for a stupid challenge. But you could see nearly in a quick decision moment, yeah, okay, he pulled him down. He's running through on goal.
Mm.
Whereas this is just like pure and utter stupidity. and made it an impossible situation for Kerry to get out of. And I suppose we'll say UCD like can be play with confidence. You know, they're when they get going and they're, you know, the nice little 1-2 tick attacker type stuff that they play, that even gets even better and more confident when you're already down to 10, when your opponent is down to 10 men after 7 minutes. You can do that extra nice bit of stuff, and you can really turn it on. And look, it was 3-0 after what, 60 minutes or whatever it was the other night. And yeah, it was just a matter of time before Kerry or Kerry lost the game. And like, even I think there was a second yellow card, which was a stupid decision. Absolutely no need to do it whatsoever. And it was in the 90 something minute, I think. So you're already down to 10 men. You already have a lad banned for next week. And then you go and get a second yellow card yourself. Very, very tough on the manager and the fans down there. But that's just pure and utter stupidity, the two red cards. But like, it's a theme that we've seen quite a lot.
I was just going to say, like, I definitely last season or the season before, they were, I think, themselves and Treaty were up towards the top of the ill-discipline table. Like, so this isn't a new thing. We've been speaking recently about how they seem to have fallen back into old habits of the goals they're conceding, but now for the discipline issues to creep back in as well. It's just been a massive recession there recently.
True that, yeah. Like, it's just, it's not great. You know, there's certain things that you need to have your players, if they're good enough to start a game, you know, they're probably good enough to start most games in your squad. And if you're just handing away a couple of players like that to stupid red card decisions that don't gain you anything in the game, do you know what I mean? Like, if a lad's one-on-one with the keeper outside the box and you drag him down, right, it's a free kick and a red card, you can move on from that. These are just desperate decisions that are being made. And yeah, something has to change to that end, or else they'll never be able to get a good bit of momentum going. But, you know, regular starting 11, a couple of good results, win a couple of games, add a couple of players, you know, and then you're dealing with like the natural attrition of like injuries and stuff like that as well. So yeah, it's just really difficult, I'd say, for Colin Healy at the minute.
Yeah, so that was a total non-contest really, that game at Mohawk Park. But there was a great game on Saturday night at Bishopsgate. Longford Town 1, Bray Wanderers 2. Billy the Kid O'Neill with 2 goals for the Seagulls to win it. He got the winner very late on as well. But this was probably one of, if not Longford's best performance of the season. I thought they were absolutely excellent for large periods, but one or two just moments of madness towards the end of the game cost them dearly.
Yeah, I thought Longford Town were quite good. It took them a while to get into the game. They seemed to be like standing off. Like allowing Bray to play. But Bray weren't doing a bag with it. And there was some like nice passing in from Sean Brennan, you know, into the final third. But I thought Longford Town dealt with that quite well. Very disappointed for the opening goal. I thought that was way too easy in the 6-yard box.
Yeah.
From a Longford perspective, that it should have never been allowed to happen. But like, Longford Town regrouped, and Danny Norris got his first goal of the season. Really good finish, kind of just squeezed in by the keeper. And I thought, like, as the game went on into the second half, I was like, yeah, Longford Town could turn it on here, made a few subs, you know, went to claim those 3 points that were on offer, but just a mistake in the midfield after a quick clearance from the keeper opened it up for Billy O'Neill, and that was it. But like, it was a game that like I was very disappointed by, because I thought Longford could have got 3 points. But I was like, yeah, that's absolutely fine. Like, it was I was very disappointed because I thought it was there.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It was like, it was the other disappointment that we've seen before is just like, geez, we're bad.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the point I made. Like, the last time Longford played Bray, they lost 4-0 against them. Now, I know that was away from home, but this time Bray came up there and they're one of the best teams in the league. Yeah. And Longford have given them a really, really good game. So I think Longford can take encouragement from that. But the disappointing side of it is that was the start of a run against the top four teams in the league. Could have really done with banking some points there. It's a tough trip down to Coleman's. Then you've got the trip to Dundalk. And then you've got Treaty, who are having a great season. So it's a really tough run of games coming up for Longford now. And you could have done with some points going into it. Just on the Bray side of things, I was quite impressed with them at times. It probably wasn't one of their better performances. They were certainly lucky to get the 3 points. But at the same time, there was moments and glimpses that you could see, these are a cut above most other teams in the league. They move the ball very, very quickly, play with a lot of intensity. And in the final third, we've spoken about this before, but the amount of penalties they win. Real nippy players, tricky operators, very fluid in the way that they like players rotating positions all the time. And now they've got Sean Brennan in the mix as well. I think that they can 100%. Really push for promotion this season.
Yeah, I think they'll be comfortably in the playoffs. And they've, as you said...
Oh, you're really going out on a limb there.
Yeah. But I think they'll do quite well in the playoffs. I know they did well last year, but I think they could very much do one better. And the reason... Well, actually, if it's Sligo, no, they won't. Mm. Whoever gets out of the playoffs in the first division. But I do think there's definitely... They've seemed to mature since last season a bit more.
Again, we spoke there about Longford being a lot better than not just the last time they played Bray, but the opening game of the season where Bray won a really scrappy game 1-0.
Yeah.
Bray have come on massively since then.
Oh, insane amount. Yeah.
Don't look the same team at all.
No. A completely different group of people altogether. That has to be down to the, the manager and the staff as well.
Yeah, he's done a fantastic job there, Paul.
Done a fantastic job.
The head coach.
When you say...
Whatever he is.
Yeah. When you say that,
some people are very precious about the titles.
Absolutely. When you say, I'll say how I think you said in the first game of the season, it's what, 6 new players?
Yeah.
In the starting 11?
7 or 8, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. So, they've melded them all together very well and turned into a great season for them.
Now, before we move on to the predictions league, we are going to link up with our old pal, Enda Curran. As we said at the top of the show, back in the junior ranks with Salt Hill Devon and looking forward to an FAI Cup tie in the next few weeks against his local team, Galway United. Who I think he probably still classes himself as a Galway supporter. I think he'd still be a regular at AM&DC Park. And we're going to speak to Enda about that. We're going to talk about the summer and winter calendar debate that's going on at the moment within Irish football. And we'll talk about the first division as well, because I know Enda is keeping a very close eye on his old team Treaty as well. So should be as enjoyable as ever. Always great to have him on. This is Enda Curran on this week's Between the Stripes LOI podcast. I'm delighted to say we are joined on the show by Enda Curran, our good old friend who has rocked up back at Salt Hill Devon. And I wasn't trying to wind you up on Twitter a couple of weeks ago, and I genuinely had no idea you were going back to Salt Hill, but you're very much there.
Yeah, back to where it all began, Kieran, really. My first club was Newcastle United and they disbanded, and Salt Hill is where I went after that. So I played there until I was 16 and then across to Merview playing League of Ireland.
Yeah, I suppose it was Salt Hill where you made your name in the first division. You had a good time there, a lot of goals. So it must be nice to be back there.
Yeah, well, look, I know a lot of the lads there. They have Mark Ludden, Joe Collins, Connor Barry. So there's a lot of familiar faces. And yeah, look, it's a good club, a well-run club. With top-class facilities. So, yeah, it's nice to be back.
And what was the kind of determining factor in going back to, I suppose, junior football? Is it just the body can't handle League of Ireland anymore, or what was the main?
That was a factor, but I wouldn't say it was the main one. Look, I think everybody can see that the direction the league is going, that it's pretty much full-time. And look, it's very hard to do it at my age. I'm 33 now, and I have to start thinking looking at the bigger picture, Kieran. So I done it before. I was full-time with Galway. I was full-time in other clubs too. And yeah, it was just, it was a hard decision to make, and it was one I kind of rambled over in my head 100 times. But I think it was the right decision and the right time for me to call it a day in the League of Ireland.
Yeah, I think I remember speaking to you before when you left Galway and went back to play a junior with Merview, that I think you felt you did that too soon, and there was a bit of, you wanted to go back and give it one last crack. So now that you've done that with Treaty and did very well there, are you content now? Do you feel that time and decision, everything was right?
Well, yeah, I did feel that after I left Galway. I think it was actually during COVID. It was 2019. I went back playing junior. I did feel like I had more to offer. So I obviously played with Merview and really enjoyed my time there. And that's another great club. But when I went back to Treaty then, I kind of felt like, yeah, look, I can kick on here now. And I just felt myself that once I got back in and got to the levels required for League of Ireland, that I could still offer something. But yeah, I suppose I'm content enough now with my decision that, as I said, I was chasing that 100 goals. And when I got that, I kind of said, look, I have a decision to make here. And with a lot of the clubs, even the first division clubs, training at different times, whether it be early morning or evenings, I felt I was going to be on the road anyway. So I just decided that it was the right time to call it in.
Yeah, and it was a great achievement, of course, getting the 100 league goals. Treaty are doing all right without you, though, aren't they? Having a good season.
Yeah, look, I've been at a lot of the games now, and it's actually really enjoyable to go and watch. It's been, at the start, it was hard to kind of stomach that you weren't part of it. But yeah, Treaty are flying. Like, you have good players there, Lee Davis, absolutely flying at the minute, and look, it's great to see, and hopefully they can finish in them playoff list.
And you're in the FAI, you've been in FAI Cup action recently, of course. You played in the first round and got through, and then you got through the second round as well, and you've been given a glamour tie against your old club Galway now, so that must be very exciting.
Yeah, look, a lot of people were saying in the build-up, oh look, it's written in the stars to Galway and Salt Hill, which is, look, it's great for Galway football. It's a great occasion. It'll be a name in DC Park, which is, I don't know, is it an advantage to them or whatever, but yeah, look, it's a big tie for us as well, and it's great to have a crack at it, especially for the lads that haven't played at that level before. And look, it's nice for the likes of myself, Luds, and all the old League of Ireland heads to get another run out name in DC Park. So look, we know Galway are a very good side. Maybe going through a little bit of a blip at the minute. But look, I'm sure John and Ollie and them will have done well prepared.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but did you maybe leave Galway not in the best of circumstances last time? Will that be a kind of an inspiring factor for you going into this cup tie?
No, it wasn't really a case that I left on bad terms. It was just during COVID, obviously, Alan Murphy was the manager and we had an agreement in place. And unfortunately, Murph's and the club parted ways. And John came in and I played under John for a couple of months. I think we went on a 13-game unbeaten run. And the following year we spoke and just couldn't come to an agreement. So we parted ways, which was grand. And like, I still go to AIM and DC Park. I'm attending most games. If I'm not there, I'll be at the Marcus Field. So, but look, it's always nice to put yourself out on the pitch and perform well for people that you've played for before. And yeah, look, it's a big occasion for everyone, but I don't think it's any added fuel to the fire, I suppose.
And you mentioned as well, you've got plenty of League of Ireland experience in that Saul Hill team. Do you think that'll be a help?
Well, yeah, look, we can help the young lads on the pitch and off the pitch in the preparation to it. There will be a lot of excitement going around Galway City, most definitely from the neutrals and from Galway supporters and, of course, our own. So, yeah, look, it's not really added fuel to the fire. It's a great occasion. We're going to go out and try and enjoy it as much as possible and see where it takes us. Like, we're looking forward to it and we're confident that we can give them a game.
Of course, you left Salt Hill 12 years ago and you're back there now. Has the club changed much in that time?
There's still the same kind of heads around that have been in the club all along. And I think in local football, that's generally all the volunteers stick through, the good times and the bad. But yeah, look, there's not a whole lot of difference or change in it. The only problem is that they're playing on an Astro, which isn't exactly my friend. But yeah, look, the facilities are still there. They're top class. They're as good as you'll get anywhere in the league or League of Ireland for that matter. So yeah, like not a whole lot has changed. Pretty easy transition back into it, and I'm really enjoying it so far.
Yeah, are all the grass pitches gone up in the Drum, or what's the situation there?
No, the grass pitches are still there now. They're actually getting ready for the Galway Cup, where there'll be international teams coming. Like years ago, we would have played against the likes of Ipswich. There was an Irish squad, a kind of a home-based team. Leeds come over fairly regular. So the pitches are just getting prepped for that now. And yeah, that's a great week. So I think it's more so we're minded the grass, get in on the Astro for us.
Right. Okay, fair enough. Of course, there's a lot of talk about the third tier at the moment. Have you heard any talk? Would Salt Hill be looking to go into that? Or did the whole three-club experience before, has that maybe soured any thought of going back into the league?
To be honest with you, Kieran, I haven't heard a whole lot. I think the two clubs in Galway that would probably be best prepped for that would be Salt Hill and Merview, but I haven't heard anything about it. But yeah, like, look, I think it's a good idea. I think it kind of gives the teams in the first division more to play for. So, because sometimes when you're in the first division there and you haven't had a great season, you're kind of just filtering out and it kind of doesn't really matter in a sense. But yeah, look, it grows the league and it gets more of an interest in it too for the clubs that aren't around. Like, I know Mayo or Neighbours would be probably prime candidates to go in because there's a lot of lads from Mayo playing out throughout the league. So yeah, look, it's positive, but on my side and Galway side, I haven't heard that really.
Yeah, of course, I was over in Castlebar there a couple of weeks ago, and it seemed to be a really well supported club. So if you could spread it across the country a bit more to areas like Mayo that don't have representation, then could be a big success.
Oh yeah, definitely. And even I remember a couple of years ago when I was a young lad, my brother would have been playing League of Ireland. There would have been Kilkenny City, I think it was, and there was Kildare Station Road, I think they played it. So I remember being, as a young lad, going up watching them games and that. So it's, yeah, look, it's great. And I think it's probably the right move for the league itself to basically develop it and keep going the way it's going, because the trajectory it's on at the minute, it's upwards, and I think it's the best thing for Irish football.
You're obviously keeping an eye on the league anyway.
Oh yeah, Jesus, I was a supporter of the league before I ever played in it, so it's something I kind of build myself and my weekends around. I love going up to, whether it be Eamon DC Park or Markets Field or wherever, but yeah, still a big supporter of it.
Very good. Are you watching much of the Premier Division?
Yeah, I've been bits and pieces of it. Obviously, whoever's playing in Eamon DC Park, I can see them at first hand. And if not, if I don't get to one of the grounds, I'd be watching it on TV. But yeah, I try and keep an eye on them all.
They have had a bit of a drop-off goal. I'm sure you don't want to say too many disparaging things about them before you play them, but second season syndrome maybe a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think it was a little bit disappointing to miss out on Europe last year. I think it was a great opportunity for the club to go and get that European place, but it's such a competitive league. Like, I watched Sligo in Eamon DC Park and they were excellent. I know they're second from bottom and they're kind of clawing the rest of them back into that relegation battle, but I was very impressed with Sligo. Also, Shamrock Rovers, naturally, they've so much talent in that squad that they're always a joy to watch. But on their day, any team can beat anybody. And that's the joy of the League of Ireland in both divisions.
And as a striker that's scored over 100 league goals, who's the striker that you've seen or even on the TV, who's impressed you the most in either? Give us a striker from both divisions that's really caught your eye this season.
Kind of put me on the spot there now. In the Premier, Douglas Taylor has been excellent. Even when he was with Drogheda, he'd be very impressive, and I only seen him in the game against Galway for Bowes, and yeah, he's quality. The first division, I suppose, like, Dean Ebbe, he's a good centre forward. Look at the goals he's consistently scoring.
He's struggling a wee bit this season, though, with Dundalk. Just doesn't seem to be happening for him up there.
Yeah, well, he's in a very good side in Dundalk, and maybe a lot of it isn't going through him as much as it would have been with Athlone. But, yeah, look, his quality is there for everyone to see, and I think it'll come good for him. But, I've seen Lee Devitt play as a kind of false nine, and, look, Lee's numbers speak for themselves. He's been fantastic this year. And, look, long may it last with Lee and get treated into them promotion places.
Has he been one of the surprise packets of the First Division this season?
Well, for everyone else, I think so. But I think for Treaty and myself, from my dealings with him, not really. He's a cracking footballer. His attitude, his work rate, everything is top-notch. And now he's added goals to it. And everyone now is standing up and taking notice of him. So
Could he step up a level?
Yeah, don't see why not. It's just getting someone to take that chance. I think they can see now. I'm sure they're watching him. Like, you can't not watch a midfielder that scored, I think, 14 or 15 goals plus and give him a chance. And then if he gets a chance at the Premier, it's up to him to take it with both hands.
Just on Saul Hill, are you in season at the moment? Are you a summer league or a winter league?
No, we're a winter league, so we're in pre-season at the minute.
How big of a disadvantage is that going into the Galway game?
Yeah, look, I think we're at a disadvantage regardless. So, it's going to be hard. We're going to be up against it. They're full-time professionals. We're going to be up against it. But look, we're relishing the chance to go and have a crack at a Premier Division team. And look, it's a local derby, I suppose you could say, but a lot of the lads playing for Sawtill are generally in Eamon DC Park when Galway are playing at home, so that's going to be a bit of a strange situation to be in. But we know we're up against it in every aspect, but look, we'll have a crack at it.
Do you have a preference, because obviously you played League of Ireland for years, so you played summer football, now you're playing winter. Do you have a preference which calendar you prefer to play?
It's a touchy subject really when you talk to people about it, because I'm involved with a club myself now, and if it goes to Summer League, the amount of players that I would lose personally due to Gaelic and hurling is, like, I just think it's going to hurt all the grassroots football clubs, which is, like, some clubs aren't going to survive off of Kieran. But in my own sense of playing, I prefer the Summer League. Yeah, like, imagine trying to, in the middle of the winter, go and play in some of the pitches. It'd be extremely difficult. And I think there'd be so many cancellations that you might even lose the crowds as well. Like, you know, people tend to kind of be fair weather supporters in certain senses. But for me, I think for the seniors, most definitely summer football.
Yeah, I was even going to say that there's obviously a big debate about this at the minute. Is there maybe something that could be looked at, like kids football up to a certain age, keep that maybe as a winter game, because kids like to try and play different sports and it's obviously good for them to be exposed to different sports. But the higher up you get towards senior football, I think lads have probably nailed their colours to the mast one way or another by then. Could that maybe be moved to a summer league? What would you think of that?
Well, yeah, it's actually... It's a good point. Maybe from like 17s onwards or something, because you'll have young lads trying to break into the first team if they're good enough. And then obviously with the rule that they can't go abroad or go to England or whatever until they're 18, it might be an idea to get them in and play summer football and go from there. But yeah, there's obviously pros and cons to both sides of it. But I think the big one is losing out on kids just being on the pitch and playing football. So yeah, look, it's a tough one, and whatever they decide, there's going to be controversy in it.
Definitely. Hopefully there'll be no controversy about this cup tie. Hopefully it'll be a cracker up in Galway in a couple of weeks, and I'll make sure to keep an eye out, because you're very much back with Saul Hill now, as I've learned. So it'll be good to see you in action again.
Thanks a million, Kieran. Yeah, smooth sailing for that game anyway, please, God.
Cheers, Enda. Thank you.
All right, Kieran. Thanks.
Are you
enjoying the show, please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Yeah, great to catch up with Enda. Let's move on to the Between the Stripes LOI podcast. And there's a bit of a Treaty United link there as well, Gary, because we've got Jason Lee joining us this week. He's going to be playing on the behalf of the listeners. Now, looking back at last week's results, we had a Finn Harps fan last week. That was Shane Bell, and not good news for us. He came out as the top player last week with 8 points. He got the correct score in the Longford Bray game. And out of the, how many games did we have last week? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Out of the 8 games last week, he got 6 returns. So he did very, very well. Good shooting from him. Okay.
Yeah,
you had a stinker. You only got 3 points.
Oh, no.
And I got 7 points. I got the correct score in Longford Bray, unfortunately. And then I got 4 other correct results as well. So what that has done to the standings, I'm still bottom, but I've put a bit of a respectable score on there that last week. So I'm on 126 points now. You're second on 141, but you have lost ground on the listeners who move on to 140. So let's move on to this week's, and we'll start with the First Division games, and we're going to start with a meeting of two of the teams comfortably in the playoff places at the moment, Bray and Treaty.
This will be a tough game for Treaty, no doubt.
Jason, a Treaty fan, going for a Bray win 2-1.
I could definitely see it. For anybody that was watching the game, like there was some good points from Bray the other night. Like, they controlled the ball well, the passing was good, there were some nice bits of, like, you know, a few triangles around the place as well. They're very confident, and I think they're very confident in each other as well.
Yeah,
which certainly helps. I'm gonna follow him 2-1 to Bray.
Doing exactly the same. I was impressed with Bray last week. Kerry against Athlone, could this be an opportunity for Athlone?
I think so. They'll have to be targeting this big time.
Unlucky not to win in the cup there recently, of course.
Yeah. But there's two players now, you know, on the bench for Kerry, Brookwell in particular. A problem, him being out is a problem for Kerry. They've lost another couple of players that they released today. I think it has to be an opportunity for Athlone. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Athlone.
Going exactly the same, Jason, going 1-1. Wexford against Finn Harps. Can Harps continue their good form? Jason thinks so. He's going 1-0 to the Donegal men.
I think Wexford will score. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw here. But I wouldn't be at all surprised if Finn Harps pulled this one out of the bag. Wexford have not been very good this season at all.
I'd probably follow you in truth and go 1-1 there. Jimmy's no longer winning matches. Maybe Kevin McHugh can start winning matches up that part of the world. UCD against Dundalk at the UCD Bowl.
This would be a great game, I think. What are you thinking here as a Dundalk man?
Despite the fact they lost Sean Brennan, they put on a great show against Kerry, but it was made all so easy for them. I don't think this will be as easy. We'd hear a lot of complaints about the Oriel Park pitch, and rightfully so. It'd be interesting to see what the dog can do on what's become a good grass pitch at long last, thank God. I think we've seen UCD's form improve since the pitch was rectified up there. So two teams that should get it down and play some nice stuff here. Probably going to just go with Dundalk by 2-1 here.
I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
Okay.
I think
Jason thinks he's comfortable here. He's going 3-0 Dundalk.
Ooh. Jeez, it'd be interesting that that happens. Yeah, no, I don't see that, to be honest. I think it'll be a very, very tough test for UCD, but I think they'll be able to quell Dundalk. We've seen that Dundalk can be got at. So yeah, I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
Now, the last time Longford Town went to St. Colman's Park, they were beaten by 5-0, but they've come on massively since then. Can they get something out of their trip down to St. Colman's, or will this be a chance for Cove to maybe claw back some of those lost points from recent weeks?
I think I could see where you're coming from. That game, the 5-0 was, I think it was a write-off after like, what, 7 or 8 minutes. I think it was 2 or 3 nil at 10 minutes or something like that. It was just a disaster for the town. I don't think it's going to be the same here. I think, as you said, Longford have come on a good bit in that time. I'm going to go for a nil-all draw.
Yeah, I wouldn't be at all surprised if Longford gets something out of the game. I'm going to go with the percentages here and go 2-1 to Cove, but I wouldn't be surprised if Longford got something. I just wouldn't be overly convinced with Cove at the moment. Jason going 3-0 to Cove. Ramblers are obviously hoping it's not that comfortable. Right, into the Premier Division, and we've got Cork City against Galway United. Could this be an opportunity for Cork just to get some sort of feel-good factor going?
No. No.
Simple as that.
Simple as that. I think this is going to be the feel-good factor for Galway. It's an important... It's a really important game for Galway. It's been so long since they've won a game in the league. They have to be going here and going, these lads are garbage. we're going to have to do something. It's not going to be an easy game at all. I think there's talk about boycotting the game on Thursday or Friday. Yeah,
I haven't seen that now. So.
Oh, no, this is just shy talk on Twitter. So, right. You know, give me some rope there. But yeah, I think it's going to be one-way traffic simply because it's so important for Galway.
Yeah.
They need to win this game. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Galway.
Yeah, do you know, I think Cork will get something out of it. I think Galway will focus massively on set pieces here. You spoke about Sligo. I suppose the big moment of that game on Friday was Paddy McLean's
turnaround,
headed goal. I think Galway will look to exploit that. Might score from a set piece, but we've obviously seen they've got some issues in front of the goal at the moment. Cork City were very good for periods of the game against Sligo, but when it came to the clutch moments, they let themselves down. I think something similar might happen here. I'm going to go for a draw, go 1-1. Jason's going for a 2-1 win to Galway. Bohemians against Drogheda, that's the live game on Virgin Media this Friday night.
Good game in store here, I would say.
I think so, yeah.
Second against the holidays. Yeah, and do you think that'll hamper them?
No, I think it'll be can only be a good bonding experience for them all. Should be all in good form after their little trip.
Okay, what are you thinking for this then?
Bulls have started drawing a lot of games recently, so maybe that's the way to go.
I think Bulls can squeeze this one here, to be honest. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Bulls.
I'm going to go 1-1, and Jason is going 1-0 to Bohemians there. Sligo Rovers against Shelburne. Shelburne play, of course, tomorrow night, Wednesday night in the Champions League. You'd imagine it'll be a second string team. That tie is very much beyond them. Sligo Rovers, they'll be eyeing this as a great opportunity to try and get out of that relegation playoff.
Yeah, I don't think they'll have enough to beat Shells, but I think that actually last year they did a job on Shells. Wasn't it last year? When, you know, around this time of the year when Shells were trying to grab a hold of the title. Yeah, I could definitely see Sligo getting something out of this game. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
You're going 1-1. Jason going 2-0 to Shelburne. I suppose they probably will have the first string out here. Shells. I'd probably follow you, Gary, and go 1-1. I think Sligo will get something out of the game. Waterford against St. Pat's. Pats will be coming back from hopefully a good European result, but they've still got a little bit of work to do. Waterford will be buoyed by their win last week. Another draw on the cards?
I could definitely see Waterford winning this. Particularly down at the RSC. I think it's going to be another forgetful night. I'm going to go for... And this is actually... Is this on Sunday or something? It is on Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
I'm going to go for... 1-0 win. No.
A 2-0 win to Waterford.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go 1-1 and Jason is going the same. And then this game may not go ahead on Sunday, depending on European results. But Shamrock Rovers against Derry, if it does, it is obviously a massive game in this year's title race. Europe or no Europe, I would see Shamrock Rovers winning this.
Yeah, to be quite honest, I don't see anything different myself. I think it'll be a tight game, but like you mentioned there, like you don't think Europe will have an impact?
Rovers like are 4-0 up. They're at home on Thursday. They can play the reserve team. They'll still win that game comfortably. They're at home in this one, so I don't think it'll have much of any impact at all, to be honest.
Right. Yeah, that's fair enough. What's your score prediction here now?
2-0 Shamrock Rovers.
Oh, that's strong.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for... Oh, does he?
2-0 as well.
I go for 2-1.
Okay. Right, that brings us to the European part of the show. We won't spend long on this, really, because Shamrock Rovers are home and hoes. 4-0 winners in Gibraltar. Good to see John McGovern getting off the mark, although I know he had scored in some friendlies, but that's his first official goal for Shamrock Rovers. And as for St. Pat's, very similar to the first leg against Hegelman. A very poor opposition they were up against, dominated the game in possession and shots and every sort of metric, and just couldn't put it in the net until Christy Forrester came from the bench and just displayed that little bit of coolness in front of goal. But really, they should have put that to bed. But you'd like to think both teams will progress to the next round.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Like with Shamrock Rovers, it's a done deal there. Shelburne, done deal there as well. Mm. Probably the only potential slip up, as you said, would be St. Pat's. But
they had 38 shots in that game the other night.
Yeah, that's not great, is it?
Yeah.
You know, dominate.
I guess, sorry, I should as well point out, I'm sure most people have seen the game, but two red cards for Caljou, and it still took until the 90th minute to break them down. Caljou look, they'd be well at home in the first division. They look a very limited side because the only kind of plan they seem to have to deal with Pat's tricky players was to kick the shite out with them. They got two lads sent off, so I really don't see how Pat's... I think it'll be similar to the Hegelman tie. I wouldn't be surprised to go over there, get an early goal and put it to bed quite quickly.
Yeah, they just need to keep their wits about them. Don't do anything stupid themselves, which they're very capable of doing. But once they keep their noses clean, don't do anything stupid, keep it tight. I think it'll be very hard for them to get it over, or for Kelty to lay a glove on them, really. But yeah, I don't want to even put the idea into the world, but it'll be a very disappointing result if they don't come out of this tie. So yeah, hopefully all goes well.
Yeah, definitely. Right, on to the BTS hotline before we go. Zachy, anyone else been refreshing FAI Connect flat out the last few days? Yeah, it's everyone's new best friend, isn't it? FAI Connect.
yeah, just on that, like not all of those deals are normally done. So
what do you mean done?
I think there's some gap. I remember when FAI Connect was set up, a few clubs were like, well, if we haven't announced a player, you know, like it could be all, like it could go sideways by the time, you know, the player's on FAI Connect. But I don't think if that's the contract is fully agreed or something like that.
Mm.
Don't quote me on that, but it's not always.
Yeah, well, there has been one or two I've noted over the last few days that appeared at clubs, and then a few days later I checked them again and they were no longer with that club. So maybe it isn't always just as final as it seems. So I'm not really sure the technicalities of it, to be honest. But
just on that, like a part of that is, like, would say a club might be very eager to get a player into a match day squad.
Yeah,
with the hope that the contract and all that stuff is sorted out.
Yeah,
but that might not always be the case. So
yeah, I suppose it has just caused an issue for clubs. You know, they're trying to a lot of people are trying to preempt their announcements, so it's caused them an issue in that regard.
Yeah.
Right, let's have a look here. Ronan, are Cork City on course to have the saddest season ever? We've probably seen
not really, no. No, I wouldn't say that.
I suppose, though, like, I'm just looking at the table. They've won two games. Longford Town went down in 2021 with two wins as well. But Longford, I think, lost something like 17 games that season by the odd goal. And were totally ill-equipped to compete at that level. Whereas Cork City, you know, club of that stature, to see them being cut adrift in the manner they are, it is quite shocking. But we're actually not shocked, because we said it from the get-go that that squad was nowhere near good enough.
I'm not sure I'd call it sad. It's expected, I think. I just don't think sad is the right word, but I know what you're getting at, Ronan.
Yeah. Daniel says, when those videos of the altercations, for lack of a better word, in the Republican estates before kickoff, the dogs in the street knew post-match was going to be chaos, and for Bose fans, most not involved, it turned into the Battle of Normandy to try and get on their buses. The lack of statements from both clubs, now there has since been statements, or the league is damning too. Too often trouble happens up there, regardless of who started, leading to innocent fans being caught up in the middle. It will probably be ignored, like when Rovers fans were evacuated onto the pitch last year, live on TV. Owen, toughest period coming up for Bray, Treaty at home, Harps away twice, with Cove at home in between, Wexford and UCD away, and Athlone at home before the big clash in Oriel. Stay at worst around 6 to 8 points behind. September 15th is huge. Huge ask to get the title, but one can always dream. Do you give them any chance of pushing Dundalk for the title?
Yeah, I would kind of see it in a sense. Like I've already hung me hat on Dundalk to win the title, but I could, you know, they have a softness about them as well. You know, we've often said that they let teams get back into games. I want to say yes, it is possible. They'll have to win a lot of games, and you know that, and obviously beat Dundalk. But like, that game could be massive when it comes round.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Kieran Carrick,
great position to be in.
What's the summer transfer window rate? And Shell's decent so far, but still think they need a centre back too. I think Sligo arguably had the best window.
I would, probably be close enough, yeah.
Like, a lot of those Shell signings are younger players, maybe, that, you know, they're not. I know they signed Mbeng from Cork City, but like, would you describe him as an established League of Ireland star? I think, again, it's maybe one more with potential in mind. So they might be signings that maybe we see the benefits of next season. But I think for the impact they've had here and now, I think you have to be very impressed with what John Russell has done at Sligo. Altai, not a question.
And
sorry, go ahead, guys.
Just the last point in that, like I say, he had to get it right. He had to get bodies in, you know, for effectiveness.
Yes, 100%.
100%.
Altai, not a question as such, but what a bunch of clowns these are. A week after a Champions League tie between Shells and Linfield passed off without incident, I'm a big advocate of an All-Ireland League, but these Muppets keep us two steps back from achieving that. And now, I think someone else replied to that. Dara says, this has got F all to do with politics. I know he didn't necessarily mention politics there, Al, but the lads involved in that behaviour outside the Brandywell on Friday, an All-Ireland League and football in general doesn't come into their brains, if they even have any. It's just pure thuggery and just
scumbag behavior is what it is.
Scumbag behavior. Like, there's no thinking or logic behind this. So I'm not really sure if it even links in with the All-Ireland League argument, to be honest. But I get the point that it's trying to make there.
Like I say, I don't think any advocate of the All-Ireland League is going, geez, there's a bunch of mongs up in Derry. We couldn't possibly have this.
Yeah.
But I will say, to be fair, there's probably a lot of other places you could have a flashpoint like that we don't know of yet, until we have an All-Ireland League. So probably a fair point in there somewhere.
Look, that was the hotline. A couple of comments there, obviously, about the incident in Derry. That was always going to happen. Let's hope we're not talking about that again on the podcast. But that was this week's show, Series 9, Episode 24. We were brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting, and AV solutions. Thanks to Endocurrent for joining us. Don't forget, you can leave us comments on our Spotify page. If you're a listener on Spotify, you can leave a comment there under the episode. We love seeing those. You can get us on Twitter as well, as ever. Just search for Between the Stripes. Check out our members club if you haven't already done so. And if you'd like to support the podcast, you can buy us a virtual beer on Buy Me a Coffee right now. You'll find the link somewhere on our Twitter page, I'm sure. But for this week, from Kieran, from Gaz, and from our sponsors, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.